Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. With available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome to the Early Wedge presented by BetMGM. I am your host, Eric Cohen, a.k.a. C. Make sure to like this video and subscribe to the Sportsline YouTube page, as the more of you, the merrier, especially for what is going to be an animated episode of the Early Wedge. Because of, I guess, the pre-show discussions got a little interesting. We'll get right to it. Let's bring in the stars of the show. We have the host of The Early Edge every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. One, the counselor, Sia Najat, who's also one of the best golf bettors on the planet. And then we have one of the smartest golf minds on the planet who vehemently disagrees with one of my takes, and that is one Patrick McDonald from CBS Sports. So here's what I was talking about. Last week, Scottie Scheffler very well should have won the Houston Open. We know that. And on Saturday, he hits a shot on the par three on the back nine to about 5 feet, lands 5 feet from the pin, has some backspin on it, and it rolls into the water. And I said, you know what? If that happened to me, I'm breaking every club in my bag. What an unfair break for Scottie Scheffler. How dare he? And you, Patrick, said what?
I called you a casual. I said it was the most casual take out there. And not to bring, I implored you not to bring it up on the show to expose yourself. And EC, here's the reason why. Mm-hmm. Spin control is a skill. And what Scottie Scheffler has been the best at over these last 2 years, you put in the ball striking number, sure, has been course management. And the shot to that pin at that situation, the miss at least, is 20, 30, 40 feet long. That ball should never land short of that pin with a wedge in hand because you know the backspin is coming. So it's not unlucky. It was a poor shot, and he got penalized properly for it.
Counselor, I guess my take that I just heard is a casual take. And you know what? After what Patrick said, I really can't argue with it. Your thoughts on just Scottie Scheffler. Did he blow this tournament last week?
Yeah, he did. And by the way, I land somewhere in the middle of your two arguments. I mean, and for the record, I'm not the golfer that Patrick McDonald is, and I don't have, quote, spin control. So yeah, I look either, at an EC and I see where you're coming from. But obviously, Patrick has the correct take here. I don't know that it was a bad shot, but it certainly wasn't a good Scottie Scheffler shot. Listen, you know, he's going to lose some of these. What's so ironic is that it was basically him and just a bunch of guys that were at the top. Jaeger was probably the strongest among, you know, 5 or 10 guys that technically could have caught Scotty. And it really came down to overtime. This thing should have gone into overtime. It should have gone into extras, and it didn't because Scotty missed a short putt. But I mean, I think we're going to have to get used to this, especially with some of these guys over at LIV. We're going to have to get used to Scotty being in contention and 5 or 7 or 8 guys just trying to jockey to maybe clip him on 18, which is exactly what happened with Steven Jaeger.
And by the way, congratulations, as you being the president of the Steven Jaeger fan club, your guy got his first PGA Tour win last week. Just how does it make you feel that this is a player you have touted? I mean, yeah. I've been sincerely when it started in 2023, you have touted Steven Jaeger more than any other player on this program. And finally, he gets a W.
It's so underwhelming. It's so bittersweet because you have to understand, not only do I have Jaeger a lot in the outright market, but in this tournament, in last week's Houston Open, I had him. The first tournament matchup I put out was Tuesday on the Early Edge, and I brought it here to this show on Tuesday night too, and it was Steven Jaeger over Thorbjørn Olsen in a three ball with Cam Davis. It was a +145. That came in. I also had Steven Jaeger as a first round leader, and I didn't have him in the outright market. So this is one I coulda, shoulda, woulda, but didn't. I will say this, though. Now, because I didn't have it, you know, a lot of other people didn't have it. There were people, though, that watched this show and they tweeted at me. They said, I watched the show. You seemed so confident about Steven Yeager that I went ahead. And if you're in the chat, make yourself known. I went ahead and I put an outright on Steven Yeager. So at least some people ended up cashing in due to our confidence, due to my confidence. But I am a little shook that I didn't have him as an outright in this one.
You know, when Grayson Sig wins, Patrick will be popping champagne bottles because he is the president of the Grayson Sig fan club. We got to add to that. You know, we have you with Yeager and then Patrick with Grayson Sig, among others. Me, I just root for whoever can actually cash for me. Scotty Scheffler was not it last week. But we're on to the Valero Texas Open. And CL, I'll start with you and your storyline. What do you think of this outright board this week?
Great transition, great host to come right back to me after I mentioned Scotty Scheffler and just winning every tournament, or at least almost winning every tournament. And we got somebody in the chat referencing that as well. Listen, Scotty's not in this tournament. And I understand Rory McIlroy is in this tournament. We know my opinion on Rory McIlroy in terms of what his win equity is versus what we are told it is in the outright market. The long story short here is that without Scotty and without some of these big names who are sitting out to wait on the Masters next week, we have a board, a betting board that I think is really wide open. I think the 20s and the 30 to ones are wide open. I think the plus 5,000, the plus 6,000 are wide open. I think there's guys in the 80 to one range. I think there's guys in the 100 to one range that are actually, I think they're viable. I think there's a lot of win equity down the board. And I don't say that, and this is a tough course. So like, it's not one that necessarily a bad player can win at, but there's some good players that are between 60, or I should say 50 and 100 to one that I think are very live in this tournament, which is why I've got a few outright, but I've also sprinkled a lot of long shots. So wait till the end of the show, because not only do I have a lot of long shots that I think can actually win here, or maybe you want to play it a little different. Maybe you want a top 10, top 20, but the bottom line is, there's a lot of symmetry in our picks, especially in the long shot section. And I think it speaks to the fact that there's some guys at long odds that can actually do really well here. So pay attention.
Wait, so you have parlays too? See, I you know, symmetry, I have to say, because all I do is, you know, I'm afraid to put in outrights. I put in what Joel Damon, I liked him last week. What happened? He misses the cut. Patrick, your storyline is kind of similar to mine. This is a big week for certain players, one especially at the top of the leaderboard. Or
it kind of ties into Sia's as well. There's a lot of guys looking for something, anything, like anything they can grab their hands onto for the Masters next week. I mean, you look at some of these players, Colin Morikawa, one of the best iron players we've seen over the last couple of years. You know what he's not doing right now? He's not hitting his irons pretty well. And without his irons, Colin Morikawa's kind of just a guy. So he's looking for some form. Max Homa, he's had an okay start to the season, a nice top 10 at the API. But outside of that, the driver's gotten a little away from him. You have Matt Fitzpatrick coming off a nice finish at the Players' Championship. You have someone like Rory McIlroy, who needs to get going before he attempts to complete the career Grand Slam, attempt number 10. And then you have Texas's very own Jordan Spieth. He's been putrid over the last month. A DQ, a couple missed cuts. Best finish has been a T30. And so all these guys, they're looking for something. And I think, you know, we always talk about guys playing their way into the Masters. Oh, this week is just a tune-up for them. One eye is on Augusta National. I don't really see that being the case this week. I think these guys are trying to put their very best foot forward and trying to pick off a win before the first major of the year.
So mine kind of relates, my storyline kind of relates to yours. There's certain players that I'm paying attention to more closely this week as a tune-up for next week from an outright perspective at the Masters. So here's my list. Rory, yeah, I'm paying attention. Hideki Matsuyama is a former winner at Augusta. I'd like to see him. He's still in as good a form as he was in the last, you know, 6 weeks or so. Brian Harman, Georgia native, has already won the most recent major that we saw. Is he a guy that we need to pay attention to next week? Of course, Jordan Spieth, who's won here at Augusta and then the following week at the RBC Heritage. He's won it all three. So he's somebody I'd like to see him get back into form, as you referenced. And on LIV, and we'll talk about LIV later in the show, John Rahm, who won last year at the Masters, Brooks Koepka, who I like a lot, and Bryson DeChambeau, who's a guy that a few of us will tout, I'm sure, in the LIV section. And another one who, if his game is right, could, you know, tear Augusta apart with that length. He leads LIV in driving distance. What are you giving me that look, Patrick? You don't think Bryson could tear Augusta apart if he's in the right form? No?
Zero top 20s in seven attempts.
Ooh. That's not good.
Well, I haven't written my fantasy article yet. I know we have yours and Sia's articles up on sportsline.com. Check those out. My fantasy article will be up later this week. Great knowledge. I guess I won't be having Bryson as high as I thought. All right. It is time for the DFS portion here. You know, I didn't even look at this before I referenced Patrick's Grayson Sig, but we'll start with Sia. I mentioned Rory McIlroy. You're fading him this week. I mean, is it because of the price or because of the player?
Well, so I'm not looking at ownership right now. I mean, I trust he's not going to be super highly owned. That's usually my main reason to fade a guy at the top. But I've been fading Rory McIlroy for so long now, and it really hasn't burned me quite yet. The way this pricing has shaken out, like I would really prefer to go down to, as I look at it, Hideki at almost $2,000 less. I love the form Hideki is in. I'd rather take a chance on a very likely lower owned, let's say Max Homa or even a Colin Morikawa or Ludwig over Rory McIlroy. So we'll see where his ownership percentage ends up going. I don't have any early indications quite yet. But at $12,300, I'd just rather spend my money elsewhere. There's a lot of guys in the 7, the 8K range that I like. I'll probably pair those guys with, like, for example, a Hideki Matsuyama. It doesn't really give me room for Rory. So no Rory for me, as usual. I'm going with Ben on here at $9,000. I'm going to start there. He is a very high-risk, high-reward guy. The high risk is there. Let's be very clear about Byung-Hun, even though he's been on a nice little stretch, but even in that stretch, he's been a little hit or miss. But that's what I want for DFS. I'm not really looking for anything else. I'm looking for the volatility that we might get, because that volatility does lend itself to him playing really well here. And by the way, he's got a good history here. And I do think he's a good course fit. There's a couple different types of course fits that can succeed here. We know the Corey Connors one where you just, or maybe like if you like Colin Morikawa or a Lucas Glover, it fits, just get it in the fairway and dial in on approach and you're in, hopefully you're okay with the short game and you're good to go. The other way is to be Ben on and just bomb it out there, have a shorter approach on the way in. And hopefully your greens and regulation are up and you putt decent. So I like the Ben on approach here. I think he's shown spike potential. So I like him at 9,000. Akshay Bhatia is another guy. He has plenty of spike potential, and he's really showcased it lately. He doesn't have a big sample size of really being dialed in with the ball striking, but we know he can do it. I think he's a good course fit, and his last time out, he was really good. And Lucas Glover, I just mentioned him. He is sort of like that Corey Connors light type golfer, and he's got a really good history here. And at 7,300, he's an extreme value to me. He'll probably be a little popular, but I think Lucas Glover is a great course fit. This chat has been on Lucas Glover very recently, and I'm back on him here at 7,300.
Like it a lot. I will have Glover later in the show. Now, Patrick, as we referenced, Grayson Sig, 6,000. You're back on the well this week. Why?
I'm going down with the ship with many of my usual suspects this week. You will see. Grayson Sig is one of them. It's every week, but couple T45s last couple of starts, which have been okay considering he's in the bargain bin at 6K, and the iron play is great. You just heard Sia talk about kind of the course fit, the Corey Connor course fit of being very accurate off the tee. Grayson Sig is that. Being a good iron player, Grayson Sig is that. And so just a decent uptick with the putter, and I think he has top 20 potential. KH Lee, 6,800, twice a winner in the state of Texas, quietly playing some really good golf. His last four starts read T4 miscut, T9, T31. He's driving it very well at the moment, putting it well too, just needs the irons to catch up a little bit. And then Russell Henley, 8,200, one of my guys per usual. I mean, he is pretty much Corey Connors' clone, but this year has been a little bit different, I'll say. The putter's really come alive. The short game's been very good, and the iron play has actually fallen off a little bit, which is a little surprise, to tell you the truth. So I'm hoping that can turn around, kind of return to historical levels at 8,200. And then I don't hate Jordan Spieth, honestly, this week. I think Jordan Spieth is frisky. That's like, he's a frisky guy. He could do anything. You talk about high risk, high reward with Benny on. That is Jordan Spieth as well. I can't do it in DFS this week with him at 9,500. I will sweat him next week when everyone's playing him at Augusta. I'll probably get involved there too. But I'm saving some hair for that at least.
Well, glad you still have some left. Me, not so much. All right, we got a few questions here. Go ahead, Eric. Go ahead, see ya.
Well, speaking of questions, I know you'll get to a couple here. One you're probably going to get to. David Tox says, what about Novak? I don't know if that was one of the ones you saw, EC, but I like Novak a lot. We'll talk about him later on in the show in different markets, but understand the way we do the DFS section. We're just picking three guys and a fade, but certainly some of the guys that we might have in the top 40 market or top 30, top 20, whatever the case may be in the outright market, maybe even the first round leader market. Safe to say we like a lot of those guys too. So you will see Novak later in the show. I think Novak has been great. I think he should be pretty good at this tournament. So that's the answer there. And I do want to, speaking of David Tok, you pointed out a three ball earlier in the show, and I like it so much that I need you to clarify where you got this one. I'd love to know, and I'd love to know the price. You have Aaron Rye over Ryan Palmer and Roger Sloan. By no means do I think it's a slam dunk necessarily, but I really like Aaron Rye in this tournament. So tell me where you got that three ball and what the price is on taking Aaron Rye. I'd appreciate that.
Patrick Heff says Hideki versus Spieth -110 hammer. Thoughts?
I don't hate it, but I don't hate it at all. I know Hideki, he's playing some great golf. The ball striking is back to historic Hideki Matsuyama levels. He's getting enough out of the putter. The results have been emblematic of this. Jordan Spieth, you can't like analyze him through numbers. It seems like he's just very hard to figure out. I try to avoid him. And in Texas, picking on him is tricky. It's a golf course he's comfortable at. And the thing about Spieth is he's actually driving the golf ball really well. It's the iron play that has been really bad. So I don't know if it's going to switch this week, but not a hammer, but a light tap perhaps.
Come on. Bring out that hammer. Bring out that. All right, that's for
a. I'm not a prop guy.
Hey, see, Moshe asked a really good question here. I know we talk about this later in the show, but wanted to get your feedback on this. He says, hey, sorry for asking again. Can we get some advice on playing just the winner versus spreading it around to the different top 5, 10, 20 markets? What's your advice regarding that?
It's a great question. I think it depends on what your risk tolerance is with some of these plays. I know a lot of people in the first round leader market, they'll put money on a first round leader, but they'll have the first round leader in the top 5, top 10 market as well. I think I would treat this similarly to a ladder play, especially with me, you know, for example, I think, let's say I had 5 outrights, Moshe, and you wanted to take all 5 of them, but 2 of them, you really loved the argument. Maybe you put like a normal bet that you normally put on those 2 outrights, but the other 3, and maybe to the extent, to a small extent, the 2 that you really like, you save some of whatever that unit is or whatever that number is that you put on the outright. You save some for the top 5, top 10 market, almost like as insurance to some degree. So I don't know that I'd recommend that for every single outright. I don't do that. I mean, I just kind of have my outrights and I separately have my top 20s and sometimes top 10s and so on and so forth. But it does make sense that, listen, golf tournaments are really hard to win, right? And you could be in first place down the stretch and you mess up one hole like Cam Young did a couple of weeks ago. And all of a sudden, you know, you're very quickly in second or third place. So to sprinkle a little bit of what you would put on the outright market in the top 5 or top 10 markets certainly makes sense. So I would, especially if your risk tolerance is a little lower and you're not necessarily trying to spike a 50-1 with however much you put on that, I would recommend taking a little bit of money and sprinkling it on that top 5, top 10 market.
All right. See, Nick says we are so due for a first round leader. All right. I think that says something. Now, next week, we're all probably going to get in on that. Patrick will make some picks. I'll make some picks for Augusta. But for now, you're the only one with the FRLs. And we're going to bring out that hammer again because Hideki Matsuyama is leading us off here. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Hef Sterling, wait for the matchups part of this show because Hideki versus Spieth. Very, very interesting. All right. First round leader, this one, I changed it up a little bit. I think what we're going to see, weather can change, by the way. So if you don't want to take these right now, totally get it. These numbers aren't going to change. You can wait to just get clarification on the weather. But what it's looking like, and this goes for DFS as well, is that the PM wave for Thursday, the guys that come out in the afternoon, are going to have either as easy of a time or an easier time because it looks like the wind is going to be relatively high in the morning. And I say relatively, relative to the afternoon. The wind gusts around that 7, between like 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock are probably going to be a little higher than the afternoon. So I actually went with afternoon guys here. And for the record, if you're playing DFS as it stands right now, Friday morning looks to be a little bit better than Friday afternoon. What does that mean? It means Thursday PM, Thursday afternoon, and Friday morning. Those are the guys you're probably going to want to play in DFS. That can change, but that's what it's looking like right now. So little DFS advice for you. There might be a wave advantage. We can talk later, maybe on another show or on Twitter, about how to play these wave advantages. But these are afternoon guys. Hideki, love the form. Absolutely can pop as a first-round leader. No explanation needed beyond that. Weighted approach, weighted tee to green, all of those things. History, it all looks good for Hideki. Ben on, we just talked about. Listen, I think he could potentially get into some trouble off the tee, could potentially get into some trouble with the short game because he's been pretty erratic there. But we're just asking him to spike for one round. I like it at 45-1. Akshay Bhatia really showed me something the last couple times out. I think he is a good course fit. I actually think he's going to be really good off the tee. And if he's dialed in on approach with the putter, 65-1 is a near gift. Maybe that's one you want to sprinkle the top five, top 10 in the first round leader market. Again, something to consider. Keith Mitchell, short game can really be lacking. But again, I'm just asking him to really spike off the tee and with the approach game for 18 holes, 70-1. I'll take that. And we already talked about Lucas Glover, a good course fit. He's got great course history, 80-1. Really like that for Lucas.
You know, I try not to look ahead in the rundowns just because I like to be surprised. And so I just kind of peeked ahead to the next section. And yeah, I'm surprised based on everything that we heard from one Patrick McDonald. You have a surprise in store after we hear from one of our sponsors.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, just so I can keep the tease going longer, Sia, I promised you last Thursday that I would give you a time to on this program to, you know, call me out or you know, after what happened in the Sweet 16 in Los Angeles, I made a prediction. I was very in disagreement of your dislike towards my alma mater, and we saw what happened in the Sweet 16. So if you'd like to take the floor at this moment to say your piece. By the way, Patrick's theory of picking the East Coast teams is
7-1. 7-1 in the Sweet 16 with three dogs.
It's way better than me picking a bracket. So, Sia, I mean, Patrick, congratulations, killing it. Go ahead, Sia, say what you want to say.
I mean, I don't even want to say anything. I feel bad for Arizona fans to a degree because a lot of times this goes for football too on the West Coast. I mean, sometimes you've got the talent, but for whatever reason, you don't have the grit to put it all together. I think it's coaching. I think it's grit. I honestly think there is an East Coast mentality, specifically Northeast mentality, that other parts of the country don't have. I can't put my finger on it, but like, I'll take a Big East team over a West Coast team all day. I'll take an ACC team over a West Coast team all day. All other things being equal, Arizona has a ton of talent, but they never showed that they could put it together this entire season with a ton of bad losses and what looked to be some bad coaching as well. Either way, the fact that that team couldn't put it together with any consistency shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, honestly.
You know,
go off.
That was painful.
Have fun with your acai bowls and your Erewhon grocery stores out there on the West Coast. We're over here on the East Coast.
I don't even know what that first thing you said. I eat like a 5-year-old. Come on. If you were to compare Arizona to a golfer to bet an outright on, isn't Tony Finau kind of the guy that you would say, just based on everything that you were saying, Sia?
That is a really good comp. I want to like while we're talking about this or maybe later in the show, I want to come up with maybe someone that is at least as good as that. But Tony Finau, that's pretty strong. Good job.
Now, another guy that you could compare to Arizona, because Arizona hasn't won in a while, a big tournament in a while. And you know, it's painfully one in 97. Now, we're not going back that far, but one Jordan Spieth, who used to be dominant on top of the golf world. Oh, wait, and Patrick was dogging him earlier in the show. He has one matchup, and now he's picking him at plus 140. What's going on here?
I got to be honest, guys. I had a very busy day today.
I thought I had
put matchups in the rundown, and I didn't have a single one. I was like, oh, crap, I got to find one. Mm-hmm. I see this on FanDuel. I'm like, this just looks a little long. I don't love either of them too much, but I like Jordan Spieth a little more than Rory McIlroy this week. So at plus 140, a guy who's won at this golf course, a guy who, granted, I don't think Spieth and Rory, I don't think either of them are that far away from being the golfers that they usually are, but I have a little more faith in Spieth than Rory this week, so I'll take the plus 140.
You know, I'm respected because I like plus numbers in this section. I didn't bring him this week. Sia didn't bring him this week, but Sia is going on the other side, a matchup that we talked about earlier. Once again, me not looking ahead. I could have waited, but all right, Sia. Hideki Matsuyama over Jordan Spieth. Bring out that hammer.
Yeah, what's interesting here is that I'm fading Jordan Spieth here, but I also faded Rory McIlroy in DFS, so I don't really have a strong opinion on Patrick's play other than the fact that it's plus 140. So I'd be on Patrick's side on that one as well. So I absolutely love it. Hideki Matsuyama minus 110 over Jordan Spieth. Listen, Jordan Spieth, who came up with the strokes gained magic beans? I feel like it was somebody on the first cut. Maybe, Patrick, it was you or Rick or Kyle or something. But either way, that's what Jordan Spieth has. And I'm sure it'll be showcased here. But when you look at what Jordan Spieth has been doing, specifically with the ball striking lately, it's not like deplorable, like absolutely awful. But when you compare it to Hideki, it's absolutely awful. Hideki has been going off. He is completely locked in. He got a win, and then he just continued with the momentum all the way up into, I think, the Masters. I think he is, like, absolutely geared up. I think he's treating every tournament really the same way. He's just going out and just being Hideki, just hitting the shot, and he ends up on Sunday afternoons being somewhere near the top five, if not winning the thing. So Hideki minus 110 over Jordan Spieth. The way those two get the state of their games right now, I'll take Hideki all day. Keith Mitchell minus 120 over Brendan Todd. So here's the troubling part about this one. I really like Keith Mitchell's potential, but I also understand that Keith Mitchell's floor is probably lower than Brendan Todd. And in those cases, I typically don't like to take a head-to-head matchup. But Brendan Todd, while he can get it done with the short game, this is one of those situations where I could see Keith Mitchell getting through the weekend, actually making the cut, getting through the weekend, and crashing and burning at some point Saturday and Sunday. But good news, Brendan Todd doesn't even make the cut. So I don't even have to worry about the crash and burn. So that's how, listen, Brendan Todd might make the cut. I think Brendan Todd's a pretty good player, but his game has not been very good yet, particularly the ball striking, whereas Keith Mitchell is really, really ball striking. And for the record, the around the green game is pretty bad for Keith Mitchell. But last I checked, sand saves, the bunker play, which we're going to see a lot of bunkers protecting these greens, is actually pretty good. So I do think that's a little, like, you know, box to check for Keith Mitchell in spite of the fact that the short game's been bad. So give me Keith Mitchell with much higher upside over Brendan Todd.
Yeah, Keith Mitchell's on my do not bet at all list after what we saw the other week. That was a debacle. Hey, Patrick, you're like you are an encyclopedia when it comes to anything golf. So I was thinking about this. Are there, if you were to rank Hideki Matsuyama in terms of around the green player, you know, best players around the green, would you put him in the top five, top 10 in your personal rankings?
Right now, he is number one on the PGA Tour and strokes gained around the green. He is number one.
Wow. I mean, what he did at Riviera, obviously, I mean, he was chipping in that last round because Cantlay, you know, was whatever that was. I mean, so Matsuyama's been great, but you'd say he's number one in the world right now.
Right now, yes. He is unbelievably underrated around the green. No one gives him credit. He doesn't do the fancy shots like JT and Spieth, but oh my God, it's disgusting from him.
David, that is a terrible insult that you wrote in the chat. You wrote Keith Mitchell equals Arizona. That is a terrible, terrible. I mean, David, I thought we were friends. Like, that's
not
just
bad.
That's not. Not that, bad. Come on. You cannot.
Go ahead.
Let me, these Clemson fans who Arizona shoots 5 of 28 and loses by 5. Keith Mitchell shot 78 or whatever it was with a lead, with a 2-stroke lead on a Sunday. You can't compare. I mean, Arizona at least made it close. Mitchell didn't even finish in the top 20. Go ahead, see it.
Well, speaking of David Tock, so a point of clarification here, and I'm really glad David Tock brought up the three ball. So just so we're very clear, when he asked about it, the assumption was that it was a tournament three ball. So, and I don't know if that was your assumption, David, as well, but that is a round one three ball, the Aaron Rye one, which again, I absolutely love. And tomorrow on the Early Edge, that may be one of my picks because I always look for a tournament three ball or I should say a tournament three ball or a round matchup Wednesday on the Early Edge, because a lot of times those matchups start before the Early Edge starts on Thursday. So that might be, and by the way, if it is one, I'm going to give you credit for bringing it to my attention. I hadn't looked at these yet, but I just want to clarify, when you're looking at golf betting, sometimes people say, oh, I can't find the bet. It's probably because you're just on the wrong tab. You're on matchups and you assume the first drop down of matchups is going to be tournament matchups. Don't assume that, because a lot of times it's the 18-hole round matchups and then you got to click over for the tournament matchups. But still, either way, love the find by David Tock. Aaron Rye over Ryan Palmer and Roger Sloan. I'm going to look into it a little bit more, but a plus 110 I think is a very good look.
All right, a couple of matchups for me, and I've done pretty well with these this season. Lucas Glover over Tom Kim at minus 110. You can find this one on DK. Glover hasn't really been that great this season, but he's finally showed something at the Valspar with an 11th place finish. He has top 20s in three of the last 4 years here with excellent ball striking numbers. Tom Kim has two top 20s in eight tournaments this year, no top 10s. His game is all over the place, and he withdrew at the Players. He was sick or something like that. I need to see something before I bet him, and at minus 110, yeah, I'm good with Lucas Glover. Works for me. Then I'm going with Ben On over Tommy Fleetwood. This one, bet 365, got this one at minus 110. On has three top 21 finishes in his last four. Players was a disaster, but we'll throw that one out. In his last 3 years here, T6, T7, and a miscut. So there's a mixed bag here. But Tommy Fleetwood, excellent. If this tournament was played in Europe, Tommy Fleetwood, this would be an easy bet. He just hasn't been good in the U.S. He's only one top 30 in five U.S. tournaments this year. And yes, I'm playing into that until proven otherwise. Tommy Fleetwood, he's on my no bet list outright. And there's a reason. So we're going to stick to that. All right. It's time for finishing positions. You're going Keith Mitchell again. What's with the Keith Mitchell look? This guy was winning the stinking tournament going into the last round of the Valspar, and the dude doesn't even finish in the top 20. And you're going back to him this week.
In the top 20. So here's the thing. The reason I took him top 20 instead of top 30 or top 40 is because of his blow-up potential. So I figured if I'm going to take Keith Mitchell, like instead of taking like a quote safer bet at, let's say, whatever the odds are for T30 or T40, it's probably a pretty good number, maybe minus 115. I'd rather like just count on the fact that he's not going to be terrible around the green and that he's going to be good with the ball striking. So I actually love the number plus 280. Now, listen, you don't have to put a full unit on the plus 280 bets, right? You can go down to 0.3 units and win a full unit on a plus 280 bet. So it's up to you how to decide how you want to bet this. But the Keith Mitchell T20 was a very specific line of thinking. I think he's either going to spike or he's just going to have one of those rounds or two of those rounds that you see that you're talking about where he just doesn't have it figured out at all. So Keith Mitchell plus 280. Maybe lower the unit size there. These finishing positions already, these are already like half unit plays for me. So on a plus 280, it's even going to be lower than that for me. Probably should be for you as well. Aaron Rye, T30, we just talked about him. It's so funny because David Tock was like, Aaron Rye is a first round leader for me. He is, I've already bet it, is what he said. I literally swear on my life, I was doing my a show with Meg McDonald. She can verify this. I'll tweet at her later. I said, Aaron Rye is your first round leader this week. What happened was I looked at the weather after that. So again, you don't have to put the first round leader money down now. That those odds aren't going to change. If you want to wait to see if the weather evens out, maybe I sprinkle in some morning and afternoon guys. But Aaron Rye as a first round leader, if the weather is good in the morning, love it. Love him as a T30. And of course, we've already talked enough about Lucas Glover, T40 minus 105.
All right. I like that. I mean, we got Aaron Rye plus money, Keith Mitchell really plus money. So I'm going four plus money players here. Corey Connors, top 20. Listen, five starts here, two wins. He's been in the top 35 every time. Won last year. If you want to get safe and really just collect, go straight to the pay window, can lay minus 200 for a top 40. But I'm going to take a chance at plus 115, the top 20 market. Harris English, top 20 at plus 175. He's done this in 5 of 8 this season, and he has a T21. His irons have turned around the last two, and the putter's been pretty darn good since February. The history here isn't great, but they're all pre-2019, so we'll throw that out at this number, plus 175. I really like it. Now, these next two are a little bit risky, but bear with me here. Charlie Hoffman, top 40, plus 160. Horse for the course. I haven't said the words in a while, but it's true. Since 2010 and 13 starts here, he has a win, 2016, five top fives and nine top 20s. He's been pretty bad all year, except he should have won at the tournament that I was at, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, and he lost in the playoff to Nick Taylor. Kevin Streelman, who lives probably not that far from me here in Scottsdale, top 40 at plus 225. No East Coast bias with this pick. In eight appearances, he's never lost strokes off the tee. He's only posted one negative tournament with the putter, 8 for 8 and made cuts, 2 top 10s and 5 top 20s to his credit. We're just asking for a top 40 at plus 225. Not that hard, right? I'm sticking with it. Now, all of these bets that I made are at BetMGM because BetMGM is the only sports book that pays out ties in full for these particular bets. If you are not a BetMGM customer, well, what are you waiting for? New BetMGM customers can sign up today and get up to $1,500 in bonus bets. Just place your first wager of at least $10 and you'll receive up to $1,500 instantly if your bet loses with bonus code EDGE. That's E-D-G-E, EDGE. All right, coming up next, it's outrights. And you know what? Patrick is the only one to hit one out of the three of us.
Yeah.
Steve and I are due. Coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right. I'm, you know, just cheating ahead, looking ahead. Patrick, what's going on? You're not taking anywhere near the top of the board. What are we doing over here?
I really liked Ludvig at 16 to 1 Monday morning. I went to contact some people who could place a bet for me. They were unavailable, and he's 12 to 1 now. And so I said, let's switch gears and attack the middle of the board.
You know what? I respect it. All right, let's see what we have with my, first of all, with my auto fades, because, you know, I said before the show to producer Jake, I said, listen, we all make mistakes. I put Scottie Scheffler on there. If he was under plus 1,000, can we just finally get rid of that? And he said, no, how stupid could you be to put Scottie Scheffler on this list to begin with? You need to look at it every week. So you know what? I deserve it. Nonetheless, everybody else on this list, thank you, Jake.
It's a good list. It's a good list outside of Scottie Scheffler. And I mean, Cam Young was so close to winning. Sam Burns, I feel like, has a win in him this year. Otherwise, I think it's a pretty great list. Even Patrick Cantlay, I think that's a good play.
So last year I was messing around, Sia, and I put together a bet on BetMGM in late April. And it included the PGA Championship winner. And I thought, okay, great. Or no, it was late May, and I thought I was putting the U.S. Open winner, and I was going to put Cantlay in there. And I looked, and I'd never do this. And I looked, and it had me for Patrick Cantlay for the 2024 PGA Championship. So this list may have to be revised pre-mid-May, just because I'm already locked into Cantlay on a 5 pick, and the other 4 have already hit.
Wow.
So I just want to point that out, that this list, Tony Finau is on there permanently. Keith Mitchell is like definitely on there permanently. So
you know what? He's winning this week, ladies and gentlemen. We have outrights right now, but we have long shot outrights coming. Keith Mitchell's your winner at the Valero Texas Open.
If Keith Mitchell wins, okay,
Go on.
I will send each of you $100, or I will bet on a Masters pick with $100 for each of you an outright.
I love that.
You can text me first thing Monday morning, and I'll take care of you. If Keith Mitchell wins this tournament, that's how confident I am. And we know that I'm kind of cheap. I would never do this if I was the least bit, not confident of this. I just want to point that out.
My bet will be Xander Schauffele 24-1 at FanDuel.
I like that a lot, actually. I like that a lot. And we'll get to that next week. Big Master Show. It's going to be next Monday. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. But all right, Patrick, you're going to start us off with one of your, I guess you might be the, Grayson Sig fan club, but Russell Henley's getting up there for you.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I said at the beginning of the show, this is a week where I'm going down with the fellows in the ship. And Russell Henley is one of them, 55-1. Feels just a hair long. He's got the skill set of a Corey Connors. They play well at the same golf courses. I know the iron play isn't where it typically is, but I'm hoping it returns to historical levels. And at 55-1, I will take the shot. Then Adam Scott. He's one of my guys too recently. Mm-hmm. And look, I already threw a couple bones on him next week for the Masters at 110-1. Might as well bet him this week too to see if he can try to win at 58-1. So far this year, he is 9th in total strokes gained in this field, 12th off the tee, 25th in approach. This is a ball striker's golf course. He plays well in Texas, so I'm willing to take a chance on the wily Australian as well.
Yeah, I love Adam Scott's game, but I'd like to see him do something here. He hasn't shown much recently, but then again, you are the only one to pick an outright winner in this section. So if everyone has been following Patrick's picks, you'd be ahead because he picked Jake Knapp in Mexico, whereas I have zeros. But Sia, you and I are changing that this week because we have a shared option. And I feel really good about it, especially since the guy has won twice here.
Yeah, I still can't believe I lost Cam Young 2 weeks ago.
That was tough.
Going to the 18th, he was a -400 favorite live. That turn of events really, really, really stings. All right. Well, let me start where you led me. So Corey Connors, listen, he's a great course fit. Normally, I don't look at history a ton, but it is impossible to ignore his last 5 starts here. First, 35th, 14th, first, 26th. And when you look at what he's been doing with the ball striking, I mean, even with the short game, I mean, the putter leaves something to be desired, but clearly comfortable here. I just think Corey Connors is one of those, like, don't outsmart yourself. Don't overthink it. Corey Connors is really comfortable here. He shows it every single year he plays here. And listen, if it was 18-1, I'd be like, geez, I don't know that I could bet Corey Connors anywhere at 18-1, but it's not. It's 25-1. Thank you, Rory McIlroy, for pushing some of these other players down the odds board. I'll go ahead and take a very comfortable Corey Connors at +2,500. And then we already mentioned Decky, +2,000. I think this is a fair number. I think I would probably play this down to like +1,800. I think it's still +1,800 in some markets, but certainly +2,000 in a lot of markets as well. Techie's in too good of a form to ignore. Again, I'm not trying to outthink the room here. I am with my long shots to some degree, which wait and see on those. And then Ben on, another guy with great course history over his last three here. He's got a missed cut, but also a sixth and seventh place finish. And he really flashed when this calendar year started. Ben on really flashed. And I know he has the upside. I know he has the potential. And when you don't have Scotty Scheffler in a tournament, among other names, I think Ben on can actually win this thing. It was plus 3,500 when I put my article out on Monday. I gave out a couple of picks on Monday. Right now, it's plus 3,000 in most markets, but I wanted to keep the number that I gave out on Monday, plus 3,000. I'm absolutely okay with that number. By the way, these numbers are generally across the board at BetMGM, FanDuel, and DraftKings. My matchups are at DraftKings, by the way.
All right, my three outrights. Ludvig Åberg at plus 1,200. I agree with Patrick here. I would have loved this number at plus 1,600. I think it was 1,400 when I wrote my article up on Monday morning. He's gained strokes off the tee on approach and putting in 5 of 6 tournaments that he's played in, each of those in 5 of 6 tournaments this season. He has 3 top 10s and nothing lower than a T30. So he's been great. He's gained nearly 10 strokes with his driver and his irons combined at the Players. So this ball striking is excellent. Don't love the number. That's where you got to parlay it in. Watch the early edge tomorrow. Somebody gives out a basketball pick. Put that with Ludvig Åberg. You get it at 25-1. You're going to feel really good about life. Speaking of 25-1, Corey Connors is playing the last two tournaments, or his two best thus far this season. T18 at the API, T13 at the Players. Amazing ball striker, and the putter is not great. But all he has to do is like putt a little bit above average, and I think we got something here. Then Billy Horschel. Now, once again, a guy that hasn't won since the Memorial in 2022. I mean, this number is not great. This is the one you got to put with a basketball pick and a parlay as well. But in his last four, we've seen finishes of T9, T12, T7, and an ugly miscut. But who cares about that last one? He's gained strokes in all major categories in those three tournaments that I referenced. He has 3 top 4 finishes here lifetime, albeit those came between 2011 and 2019. But the putter is cooperating, gained strokes with the putter in 7 of his last 8 tournaments. And on Sunday, he was great in Houston, shot a 64, and really threatened the top of the leaderboard in a field that has some flaws, as we've seen. Once again, I think the number, if I got it at 50-1, 60-1, I'd feel a lot better about it. But 35-1, yeah, I could get a little bit behind it. So, okay, we can do that. All right. Now it's time for the long shots. And I just want to gloss over the fact that, I mean, there is synergy. You guys have 2 players each that you agree with. I guess, Patrick, I'm going to let you make the case for Keith Mitchell. And then, Sia, I'm going to let you make the case for Lucas Glover. How about we do that? So, Patrick, why don't you start us off?
Cool. Yeah, and we almost got one home last week with Taylor Moore.
Mm-hmm.
One of the many to finish runner-up for us, which is a concerning trend, unfortunately. But yeah, Keith Mitchell, this is a ball striker's golf course. And Keith Mitchell, since the beginning of the year, 4th tee to green, 5th off the tee, 3rd on approach. You got to be a good driver. Keith Mitchell is one of the best total drivers in the world. I know the short game isn't fantastic, like Sia had mentioned. But at 80-1, you know what? That is more than willing to take a chance there. Lucas Glover as well, which Sia will touch on at 90-1. And then a pretty recent winner in Austin Eckrod at 110-1. I mean, since that win, he hasn't been awful, just a couple okay starts, but the iron play has still been very good. And he's 7th tee to green, 8th on approach this year among this field. Went to school at Oklahoma State, should be okay in the Texas wind if that pops up. So I love Eckrod at 110.
You know, when I hit Eckrod live in betting at the Cognizant, I had mentioned on this show, I said, if there was a trend with live betting as far as betting a guy in the top 5 at the end of round 2, and the winners had come from there, and Eckrod fit that category, and he ended up getting the win. There was also a similar trend here at the Valero Texas Open. Since 2015, I believe, every winner has been in the top 5 after 2 rounds. You might want to take a look at that as a live betting opportunity. And, you know, some of the, you may not get the best number, but if you can, you put a little parlays. I mean, that's, you know, that's my middle name, Eric Parlay Cohen here. You know, some of these guys might make sense. All right. See ya. Keith Mitchell. We, you know, Patrick talked about him. Lucas Glover. Elaborate more on why you like him.
So I think the number on Lucas Glover is really interesting because it opened at 75-1 in most markets, and it's up to 90-1 now, which means he's not getting respect in the market. And I kind of get it because even though he's got a really good course history here, if you look at the metrics over, like, let's say 2024, it's not like the classic Lucas Glover where the ball striking is really, really elite. I mean, it's okay. He's gaining in the ball striking department, but he's not doing anything super special when you pair that with the fact that he's typically not a very good putter. Like, I understand this number, but I also understand that Lucas Glover typically is a really good ball striker and that Lucas Glover can get hot with the putter. And Lucas Glover does have good history here. So again, at 90-1, I think it's worth speculating. I'll be very clear here, though. These long shot plays, we name them long shot for a reason. These are sprinkle plays. And if I had to sprinkle less on one of these three, it actually would be Lucas Glover. And it would be maybe a touch more on Keith Mitchell, who rates out so well. Yes, around the green's a problem, but weighted tee to green, weighted approach, course history, weighted off the tee. Like, he literally checks all those boxes. Now, he can get in a lot of trouble. We've already discussed that. But I'd rather put a few more bucks on Keith Mitchell than I would Lucas Glover. I just want to give everybody the context there. And then Andrew Novak, somebody in the chat already brought him up. He was almost another finishing position play for me. T40, he was plus 125. The problem is I didn't want to have a lot of finishing position plays because I've been really up and down in that market, and I thought three was enough. But just so you know, he was the one guy that didn't make it in. T40 plus 125, I think, is a good number. And Novak has shown an ability to top 10 with really good fields, better fields than this. So I think 120-1, this is a guy that is up and coming in maybe a big way. So I think it's worth a sprinkle here as well.
Well, if Keith Mitchell wins at 80-1, not only will you guys cash a big number, but you'll be getting $100 from me to bet on the Masters. So you root hard for Keith Mitchell. I am not concerned in the least. All right, mine, of course, this is the section of parlays. Can't help myself. I've struggled here lately, but listen, these are sprinkles. I mean, you half a unit, whatnot. Top 10 parlay. This one's at DK, plus 1,600. Corey Connors, Billy Horschel, two of my outright bets. That's a pretty good number, including ties. Top 20 parlay, this one you can find under tournament specials at FanDuel. Jordan Spieth and Corey Connors at 5-1. I think that's pretty good. If Spieth can actually show up, as we have debated both sides of the of that one here on this program. So in the top 20 parlay, I'm going with Spieth again. I think you could do that with Oberg and Matsuyama. Plus 1,300, find that one as well on FanDuel. All right, so we got some parlays. We got to hit something. I like that last one, those last two. Spieth better not let me down. I'm putting a full unit on it. If he does, then he will not be on my card next week. But that is not the only golf tournament that we're going to talk about this week. The LIV Golf is at the Blue Monster in the Doral in Miami, and we have picks. Now, Patrick and I got off to an excellent start this season. We had Joaquin Neiman at Mayakoba. We had Dustin Johnson in Las Vegas. So now it is time to see if we can all get back on track. C and I actually agree on our pick, but Patrick, I'm going to start with you. Who do you like this week?
Yeah, and we had Louis Oosthuizen in Jeddah, ran into Joaquin Neiman for another second place finish. But theme of the show for me, I'm sticking with my guys. I might be definitely lifetime still in the hole for Louis Oosthuizen if this wins.
Good luck with that. Yeah.
Yeah, we're climbing out of it shortly or slowly but surely. But yeah, 27. To one. He's just been playing really, really good golf, and he's played well at Doral throughout his career. So I'm going to take another chance, hopefully the last chance with him. And then Carlos Ortiz, 40-1. His last four starts are a win, T15, T4, and T10, sprinkled between LIV Golf and the Asian Tour. He's playing a lot of golf, which I like. He's in form. He's played well at this golf course during their team championships as well. So I think he's got an outside chance to contend, although I think one of the big guys is ultimately going to win. You guys might be on the right track.
I think we might be as well. See, why do you like Bryson DeChambeau at 10-1?
First of all, you guys know I don't put a lot of time into the LIV outright, but I did put a little bit of time. I know this course, you know, a longer hitter is probably going to be better at Doral. And I just Bryson DeChambeau, he just seemed, first of all, the play has been okay recently, but he just seems like the perfect candidate to hit the tournament before the Masters, like get a lot of hype going in. And then, as Patrick was alluding to, maybe not do much at the Masters. I think 10-1 is fair. I thought Joaquin Neiman at plus 800 was also fair. Let's be honest, though. You're not listening to me on this one. It's EC and Patrick that are doing the actual research for the LIV Tour.
All right, fair enough. I like the DeChambeau pick. Three top tens and four live tournaments this season. Shot a 5-under 67 in a solo round here at last year's team championship. So obviously has some familiarity with the course. He is first in driving distance on the circuit and fifth in greens in regulation. But the putter, kind of like Corey Connors, like if we're looking at Corey Connors and his issues with the putter, that's kind of Bryson. You don't really know what you're going to get, and it's always been that way. Paul Casey at 28-1 is really interesting. His four finishes on the circuit this year, T11, T5, T29, and lost in a playoff in his last one to Abe Anser. He's fourth in fairways hit and has gained at least 1.5 strokes on approach in every event this year. And he's played here when this was a WGC event between 2007 and 2016. He has three top tens. So Paul Casey's a guy that I'm going to keep an eye on. He also doesn't have a Masters invite next week, and he's not going to get one. So maybe this is his way of saying, hey, listen, you guys snubbed me.
That reminds me.
Yeah.
EC. Mm-hmm. Patrick, please clarify. EC, maybe you know the answer to this question. Is Keith Mitchell qualified for the Masters next week?
He is not.
Oh, boy. Oh, I can't wait for that Venmo. The storylines write themselves. Keith Mitchell's your winner at 80-1, folks. By the way, speaking of long shot bets, let me just clarify something. Because EC, you said, oh, these parlays, maybe I'm going to just sprinkle a little bit, like half a unit. A sprinkle is not a half a unit. A sprinkle to me is like 0.1 units, maybe 0.2 units. So in case there's like novice bettors out there that don't know what we mean by sprinkle, we're talking a very, very small amount relative to your normal bet size.
All right. So, and that's fair. I agree with that. That's a good tidbit that you threw in there. So yeah, for me, I just get excited when I see these parlays. Like
it's
the first thing I look at outside of the outright market this week. You know, every week I'm like, all right, where can I put my favorite players together for that week? And sometimes we hit, but it's been a rough go. So temper your expectations. But we're going to get back on the board here soon. We just, you know, I've not been the best in finishing positions and these parlays lately. So it is time to get back on the track with the biggest tournament of the year coming up next week. Now, by the way, since Patrick McDonald is such a TV star, we have to move this show to Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. So get ready. You have an extra day if you're watching this on replay. You have an extra day to watch this show next week because one Patrick McDonald is so popular that he changes show times. It's worthy. I mean, this is like your week. I mean, it's Masters week. How excited are you for next week, Patrick?
I'm not going. I know. Yeah, I'm a bit bummed to tell you the truth just because, I mean, everyone's going but me. So disappointed, but it's a great tournament.
Ouch. Jeez.
Yeah. No, it's just a bummer. That's really the only way to put it.
All right. So see, I'm gonna end this show with a question because I honestly don't know the answer to this. I figure you are the ultimate cultured person. Educate me on food, etc. What does pimento cheese taste like?
Oh, I have no idea. I genuinely have no idea what pimento. As far as the cheese cuisine, I know what cheddar tastes like, provolone, Swiss. I don't really get into like the fringe cheeses. And is pimento a fringe cheese? I don't know.
It's a South thing for sure. You know, it's not as rough and tough as the Northeast. I mean, those guys aren't eating pimento cheese. They might be eating it on the West Coast, but they are eating it in my neck of the woods. It's really good. I couldn't tell you what it is. I think there's probably some red peppers in there potentially. Mm. If you ever find yourself at Kiowa, the pimento grilled cheese at the Ryder Cup bar off the 18th hole of the Ocean Course, 10 out of 10 recommend.
Wow. You know what type of cheese they eat on the West Coast, Patrick?
What's that?
It's got to be Brie, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Fromunda cheese.
And for that, that's a great way to end the show, I think. You guys, awesome.
Keith Mitchell. That's it.
Awesome episode, as always. Next week, we'll be back here on Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, for one of the biggest shows of the year, the Masters. Can't wait to see what we will learn on that one. Maybe Patrick and I will have some synergy, and maybe he won't take my money for once. So for Patrick McDonald and Sia Najad, I am Eric Cohen. Thanks to producer Jake as well. And as I always like to say, let's hit it big. Good luck.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.